Welcome to WJR's Internet Advisor Podcast. Catch the live show weekends on News Talk 760 WJR and online at InternetAdvisor.net. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown with you, and delighted that you've made your way here with us. We've got another great program lined up for you today in our first hour. We're going to be talking with a representative from AT&T about their big expansion program that is just going on right now, coming to completion in the state of Michigan. We'll also be talking about a new kind of a TV network for businesses that are just starting, startup TV, you might call it, and also about nomophobia, what happens to you when you're disconnected from your phone. Welcome aboard this Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and we have the full posse in studio. Mr. Gary Baker is with me here, who has been around for quite a few years now, helping us with the Internet Advisor. He and I began the program back in 1998, and he's been keeping it going, stoking the home fires, even sometimes when I've not been around. Thank you, Gary, for being with us today. And Mr. Ed Rudell, of course, in-house, our PC specialist, network specialist, and reformed hacker, we like to call him. White hat.
That's right. Always for the good.
And Cal Carson is also with us, the man who speaks both PC and Mac. Good to have Cal.
For limited time only. You know it's really weird to try and do?
What's that?
Put on your headphones with a Bluetooth still stuck in your ear. Man, does that hurt.
That's smart.
It's in there nice and deep.
What you might say is kind of a technology overload at that point, huh?
I think so.
Well, it's been quite a busy week as we look out there at some of the things going on in the tech world. And one of them is that a little earlier on this week, that social network, Facebook, hit 1 billion active users. It's astounding, I think, two things, that it stayed around that long and that it has reached that many people. Why do you think, guys, that it has stuck around? We can think of, you know, MySpace before it and some of the other kind of social media things. Why do you think it is that it's stuck around?
It's just another place that's going to be in vogue in 3 years from now. Kids will be going like, Facebook what?
Well, wait a minute.
I think it was because the exclusivity of it when it first started. It originally started as for students, college students. And then high school kids and middle-aged kids snuck on there because they just realized they just had to fib about their age. and then they could hang out, supposedly, with college kids and older brothers and sisters. And then the parents got involved. So there's been an evolution to Facebook that's allowed people to slow different genres and different sets of people, groups of people get in. But now it's mainstream.
Do you think it's kind of grown with the whole mobile phone use? That's why it's different from, let's say, the MySpace predecessor, and who else was there?
Is there even a MySpace app?
Yes, no, that's a good question. There is a MySpace.
It's like everything else. Facebook grew so huge and so fast because of all the new mobile devices that are out there. When MySpace came out, you didn't have tablets. You didn't have full-fledged smartphones. Mm-hmm. So, everybody had to go home and log on and use these things.
Or back to the office where they have a connection.
Actually, back to the campus. Remember, these kids are plugged in all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it originally started.
Well, I think it's also mutated, if you will, not just because of, you mentioned it, the devices that are there now and the universal use almost of the internet, of digital connections everywhere. But I think also the soccer moms caught on. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big piece of the thing that as it matured, yes, college students had it. We're talking about Facebook's folks. But then college moms caught on to it and really have been rocking the house with it.
I'm going to tell you, 3 years from now, it's going to, because it's become mainstream, it's going to be like AOL.
Do you think that?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, when we think about it and we think Facebook, but you know something? There's a company out there that tracks the number of times that Facebook is mentioned in the media.
Uh-huh.
It's second.
Number two.
At 40% of all mentions about social media.
Wow.
You know what's first?
What?
Twitter. 55% to 40% down to LinkedIn, which is 1.5%. And then Pinterest, you know, MySpace, Foursquare, and Google Plus at 0.08%.
Google Plus is way down there. Wow.
Yeah. So when you think about it, you know, it is one of the two big boys on the block. But
you know what's
Twitter?
It's interesting because it's kind of it's got mind share. Okay, right. Like you said, 40% of the mentions mention it, then Twitter as well. Yeah. But it is probably one of the clumsiest interfaces that's out there to interact with, isn't it?
It is.
It's just horrible. It's just, my wife is constantly
pounding
her desk.
So was AOL.
Yes, that's true. It was.
It was very popular, but it
was clumsy compared to the best ones out there. But people didn't know about the best ones. They knew about AOL and now Facebook. And
it's popular. I like this. Everyone else.
Yep.
You know.
Well, you got this whole
stumbling.
Well, a lot of people like tooting their own horn, not everyone. Right. And you have this whole social media. When you have top-level executives or corporations and they want to say something, they have their own media department that will publish on Facebook, Twitter.
Well, businesses have moved to MySpace. It. No, that's the other thing, too. Yes, yeah, you're mentioning it. Yes. Is that businesses, like you know, Emily Hay, who was our social media expert, her company is formed around helping people, businesses in particular, small and medium-sized businesses, to use things like Facebook and Twitter to connect with
and authors. You know, I found the most interesting conversations going on an author that my daughter and I and my son read his book, Patrick Rufus, you know, the Name of the Wind. Great story.
Yeah.
Follows like the Harry Potter thing. And I just love the way this guy, what he talks about. He's off the wall. And
so
it's fascinating conversation that I can have with my daughter.
That's interesting, too, that you get to continue that conversation with your fan base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that's expanded on.
Exactly the same pattern that AOL had. Because remember back in the old days?
When businesses went
to it, it used to be, hey, Internet Advisor, keyword Internet Advisor. And it used to be always that. You know, everybody had keyword. Now it's like, we're on Facebook, like us. Same game.
I don't know. I think it has so many dimensions that people are using to communicate with. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see it disappearing in 3 years.
Oh, it won't.
I didn't say it was going to disappear.
And
AOL is still around.
AOL hasn't disappeared either.
I think it's going to maintain its ascendancy because of its movement into the international markets.
And social.
Yeah, we'll talk more about
AOL
that.
AOL wasn't social.
Hey, we're going to talk in just a few moments, though, with somebody from AT&T about a big move that they have been making in the state of Michigan to increase their presence and the speed of their connections. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. By the way, our homepage, internetadvisor.net, is just a wellspring of all sorts of information there. If you are just catching us maybe for one of the first times, either through our podcast, which you've downloaded, or you've gotten us through one of our many affiliates now on Michigan Talk Radio Network. And we're delighted to have folks out there listening to us between 1 and 2 p.m. in Grand Rapids at WJRW AM 1340. Thank you so much for being with us. When you go to internetadvisor.net, there's a regular, just kind of a whole basket of information there I want to touch on quickly for you. If you go to the toolbar that's up on top there, you've got forums that you can go into where you can put a question throughout the week that our experts will answer for you. Podcasts will link you up with our past shows. And then the toolkit is a wonderful collection of great resources that Ed Rudell has put together and other members of the show have put together over the years to help you with that. You can download the free resources to help make your computer secure there, for instance. And then on social media, Emily Hay has put some things in there. News, we include some news items that we're following about us, let you know about who we are. And then the contact us is probably the most important one right now, because when we aren't doing our program live on our flagship station in Detroit, WJR, 760 AM, anytime, actually, including that time, the best way to get hold of us, probably the best way and the only way to get hold of us with your questions for the shows is to go to that contact us form, click on it, put your name in there, the other information we require, and just a short question about what your problem is that we can tackle here on the air. And then we look at those things, pile them up, and we bring them into the show as we're going to be doing in our second hour. So just a little bit about our other resources that are available. Guys, we've been talking about some of the other things going on in the news. Gary,
something that we've talked about since the iPhone 5 came out and the new connector that Apple rolled out, which they used to use a 30-pin connector, and now it's eight-pin connector. And Kevin Murphy and I had a conversation online about it, and he's, you know, I was saying, gee, great technology. I'm glad they finally moved to the new technology. And he was saying, yeah, but it's so expensive. And I'm going, yeah, but sometimes you have to pay for good technology, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm, you know, getting ready to go out and buy my adapter going, $30? This is outrageous. Why am I paying $30 for this connector, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Kevin said, well, guess what? Maybe neither one of us should be complaining too much because, and he sent me a great a link to MacRumors.com.
And I know what you're going to be talking about.
There's an article in there about the new connector and the fact that there is an actual controller chip in the connector, right? So it's not just the dumb connector that we're used to. There's actually, it's a smart connector that this controller chip dynamically assigns the functionality from the what would typically be the 30-pin down to the 8-pins. And what happens is it allows it to go faster, right? Mm. And allows for a number of different power source problems. So if you happen to be, you know, in the car, if you mm-hmm. happen to not get clean power, for instance, that would have wreaked havoc with our phones in the past, this actually is kind of a, the way I think of it anyway, from the description, it's kind of like a cleanser or filter, right? You know, it is smart technology, and maybe it is worth the $30, right?
Yeah, I mean, I saw that same breakdown out there, too, as well. And I also saw that there's a company that's putting out their own version of that same cable. And it's really cool because the cable itself lights up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Imagine, like, the rope lights from the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it actually lights up, and as the data flows, the cable, the data, the lights flow in the direction of the cable. Wait,
is that standard, or I'm sorry, was that a special cable?
That's a special one.
I want it.
It is really cool to look at.
Will it connect to my PC?
No.
Oh. Yeah, if I had an iPhone.
Well, no,
on the other end.
It has a USB
connector.
Yeah, if you
had an iPhone, yes.
Well, that ain't going to happen. Okay.
No, it will connect to your PC, but it won't, if you don't have an
that
iPhone.
It's cool.
It's kind of dangles.
Eye candy.
Yeah.
So I figured out, you know, like I have to buy a lot of these for our company, for Society for Manufacturing Engineers, you know, I work. So I'm thinking, okay, we bought all these iPhone 5s now. Uh-huh. Now we have to be able, now I got to go out and pay $30 a piece to get them, you know, an adapter to use in their automobile, right? Well, no, I don't.
Hmm.
I went to Big Lots, and for $5, I bought it on sale last weekend. So for $4, I got a little little power adapter that goes in my cigarette lighter, and then I plug the cable into that. So I don't get the extra cable, but I get the way to get to the power.
How much was that at Big Lot?
$4.
No, oh, wait, is that...
So I thought, wait, no,
this
$5,
is a, this
it's
a power adapter that has for USB.
For you, yes.
Okay.
For USB. So what happens is, so the other end, right, it's the 8-pin connector into the phone. The other end is a USB connector into the converter that converts it into the, you know, the thing you put
in your car or some other place, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, this now converts it into, you know, getting power out of your cigarette lighter.
Did you try it already?
I did, and it's wonderful.
Well, shouldn't it work with any other USB?
No, not all USB connectors will work because I have a cigarette lighter USB, a combination USB and 30-pin.
Yes.
Made by some other company other than Apple, and you plug it in, and if you put a 30-pin device on it, no problem. But if you run it through the USB port and use that new 8-pin, it doesn't provide enough power for it.
That's
it charges it nicely. For the one that I have, it's a Duracell.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, oh, this is really great. And especially because Big Lot had a sale last weekend.
Yeah.
So I got a 20%, everything in the store 20% off. So I got it for $4 instead of $5, thinking I'm really great. And then this week I find that people are giving them away as premiums, you know, if you go to a webinar or this or that or the other thing. So if I told everybody that didn't get one, because I could only get 16, I went to three different Big Lots and bought anything they had.
Oh, there's not going to be any in my neighborhood left over. Gary's already
cleaned them out. I cleaned out everyone that I went to. So I'm just telling everybody else in the company, well, just go to this webinar. By the way, it's a good webinar. They should, you know, want to go to it anyway, and they'll send you this.
Now, just by the way, explain a webinar for just a moment, for people who are listening to this. What's a webinar? I know about seminars. What's a webinar?
It's a seminar on the web.
Right.
And most of them are free, not all of them. but a lot of them are. And great information. I go to the IT
but
ones.
But I didn't know you got
ones.
Swag for going to webinars.
Well, they gotta, there's so many out there that they got to get you to go to theirs instead of somebody else's, right? And, you know, it's usually put on by a sponsor, you know, by an organization and then a sponsor that sponsors it.
And they have little swag bags that you can get.
More and more so. And
now, this raises...
Foster, what is swag?
Swag is stuff. It could be a pen. It could be a pad of paper. I just came back from a conference that has to deal with a medical conference has to deal with the kind of cancer that I have and I'm in remission from right now. And as part of that, they had swag. You know, they had some stuff you could take back with, like pens and pads and things like that. So that's how I related to that right away. But
I should start trying some of that stuff. You know, I've never done swag.
Oh, get out of here. I bet you've got bags at home. Hey, I wanted to ask this question. We're probably not going to have time to follow on it completely now. But in response to Gary's thing about the connectors, there's a great article that came out by John Falcone about, was from CNET, about the dock is dead. And it went on to talk about best wireless speakers for the iPhone. But just the whole notion is, Gary, that we don't have to worry about the docking devices anymore because the key is now everything is going wireless. Whether it's, you mentioned putting a wireless headset, you had to take it out of your ear so you could put your headphones on, Cal, or speakers.
What about charging?
Well, charging, for instance, the new Lumia 920 that will be coming out from Nokia probably in about 4 weeks, which will have Windows 7 on it, has a pad that you simply put your
It's still
phone
a dock.
On.
So
it's inductive charging.
Well, hang on a second. Yeah.
It's called inductive charging.
Yeah,
you know, sort of like the ThinkPads.
But there's no connectors, Cal. There's no wires
connectors.
To connect. And that's really
the
key.
I'm sorry, the touchpads,
So you don't have to worry about whether the company changes its pin connector configuration. Or for instance, for speakers. And you know, for instance, that in the Apple world right now, you have Apple TV and what's it called? AirPlay?
Yes.
Is the function now that has come with iOS 6, where any iOS 6 device that you've got nearby, if you've got content on it, you don't have to plug it into anything if you have an Apple TV.
When they have a universal induction charger for all devices, I'll sign up.
I think after this fall, when Nokia comes out with it, with the 920, you're going to see them run flooding to do that kind of thing. That's going to be a huge selling device, I think. All right, we'll be back and talk about that and some other things coming up in just a moment. We're going to be checking in on somebody who has developed a whole new kind of TV program called Citizen Tech. It's about the TV for startup companies. Coming back with that in just a moment on the Internet Advisor. Welcome to WJR's. Well, not just WJR's. It's yours if you're listening to us, one of our affiliates as well. It's the Internet Advisor. That's the important part. And you can get to us through our podcast. You can subscribe to on iTunes or when we are on the air in our flagship station, WJR, you can listen to us live. Matter of fact, I believe coming up on our show for October 20th, we are going to be live. And Rick Broider will be in studio talking about all sorts of neat devices that are coming out. And that'll be, by the way, the week of Microsoft's big announcement. They're kind of unleashing Windows 8 on the world on that week.
You said affiliates. What if I was in Muskegon, Michigan? Where would I listen to this?
If you were in beautiful downtown Muskegon, Michigan, you would be listening to us on just a moment while I get my, let's see, in a beautiful downtown, on the shores.
WKLQ.
Thank you.
1490
awesome.
AM.
And by the way, you have two chances to catch us there. That's on right. Saturday nights from 4 to 6 p.m. and on Sundays from high noon until 2 p.m.
Oh, my God. I'll just drive over and listen to myself twice.
I could just see him like I see him doing that. It's a beautiful place, beautiful city behind the shores of Lake Michigan.
Well, hey, I got to tell you that I got this email, and it was from a woman out in Silicon Valley in San Francisco, Beth Kindig, and she has a startup television program called Citizen Tech, and I wanted to know if this was real or not, and so I went to LinkedIn, and I found that we have about 22, 23 friends in common that I thought, oh, my God, who is this person that would know this many people in Michigan? And after a conversation, I invited her to be on with us, and she's on the phone right now. Beth Kindig, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you, Gary. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. In fact, better than good.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking, or I've been reading Zig Ziglar's book, Better Than Good, and so from now on, I'm better than good, just like Zig. So, how are you doing? This is great that you're on here a little earlier there, right? 3 hours earlier, over.
It was a little earlier, yes. I just taped my third show yesterday.
Oh, so did you? Cool.
Very exciting.
So this is Citizen Tech, and it's with a TEKK.
By the way, you can link to that live off of our homepage. Simply right. Go to InternetAdvisor.net, and the link is right there behind her smiling face.
Yes, I was just going to say that. And so you can see what she's been up to. But Beth, tell us a little bit about Citizen Tech.
Great. Well, it's a new media outlet for startups. And what we're trying to do is give small teams and tech experts a voice. The biggest differentiator between what we're doing is that right now the press is designed where 20 journalists who may or may not have a corporate message are writing the content. And we are a platform where startups and tech experts can contribute. So there's no limit to who can contribute the content, and therefore it's a more democratic voice, and everybody can sort of weigh in on their expertise.
I guess you know,
and we're also bringing startups in on the tech TV show so that they can express and tell their story.
I love this. It's kind of like really a grassroots kind of thing in terms of on the side of the entrepreneurs. You're kind of not waiting for the tech press to get hold of the significance of these things, but giving them a chance to get out in front of it.
Exactly. And I think the sooner that we find these people and support them, the better off our economy will be. They create jobs. They help us stay very competitive on a global scale, and we're looking to support that.
So, Beth, you've been involved in venture capital before this.
That's right.
So tell us about that.
I was contracted by media companies, multinational media companies that were foreign, such as from the UK and Norway, to identify startups for strategic partnerships. So that's how I sort of got my start.
And then you decide, why did you decide to do this?
Well, you know, I went to all of these events, and there are these people, these entrepreneurs and engineers, who sometimes will go a year of their life without pay. And again, they're creating very meaningful technology to reduce costs and improve our lives and keep us competitive. And it's very hard for them to be discovered. And they're all vying for the attention of an investor or press, and they don't really have a voice. And I feel like their stories are very interesting. And, you know, what they're doing should be heard. So I thought, why not start covering them on a tech TV show, give them a website where people can go and shop them and see their products and see what they're doing, and just give them more exposure.
That's pretty cool. Cal?
Well, Beth, yeah. This looks really good. I'm looking at your website right now. Now, let me try and understand this for other people who may want to go crazy and, you know, instead of a tech show, maybe they may want to, I don't know, have a yarn show or something like that. Are you like, do you produce this in a studio somewhere and then flow it out to YouTube, or is it coming directly from your site? And did you have to have investors to get all this set up? Because this is really clean, slick video.
This is. Very.
Yeah, thank you. We do it in studio in San Jose, and the production team is a corporate team that works with eBay and PayPal. So they have they're a four-person production team that's already working in tech. And they approached me to be the host because I have been so passionate about startups and know these people in the community. So it's very professional, and we hope to you know, gain an audience as quickly as possible for it.
Now, do you select the talent, the people to interview? Does somebody do that for you? Because you've had some really great guests on.
Yeah, thank you. I actually select that myself. I think that that's one of my strengths, is that I'm sort of in the community and I'm going to these events and working every day in the field. So I kind of know who's interesting. I think that I have a good idea as to what consumers want to hear. So that's sort of how we pick them.
Mm-hmm. Beth, can you give us an example of some people that you've discovered as you've done this recently? You've just finished taping show number 3, so we're still kind of at the beginning of this. By the way, we're talking about Citizen Tech with 2 Ks at the end of that, and we're talking with Beth Kendig, who is the
producer. Link right off of our site.
And right off of our site. So what are some people, can you give an example of a company that you've discovered there and put on?
Sure. Rent Lingo is one, and they basically are going to help people find roommates and rentals through their connections.
Oh, cool.
You can think of it as the LinkedIn for rentals.
So
instead
nice.
Of, like, think about a college, you know, a college-aged girl, you know, she can now find roommates when she goes to school through her connections instead of having to call strangers. So I think that's a huge improvement.
Boy, increasing security, a whole bunch of great things. That's really excellent.
Yeah, so that's really exciting. Yesterday, we had a really interesting startup on. It's an app that will give you 50% off of your tab at a restaurant.
Ooh, whoa, whoa. So what app is that?
Well, it's actually called Drink City because they specialize in drinks, but they're looking to expand that. But that's just really neat. It's sort of a Groupon idea, but you can get 50% off. And who doesn't want that?
And you've actually had a Dragon Slayer on just recently. In fact, the one that I checked out was somebody that's taking on one of the big sites out there.
Yeah, they're taking on Craigslist, which is so interesting.
Wow.
Because, Craigslist is a wonderful platform. I mean, it's done a lot for the classifieds and reduced those costs for people. However, they're limiting who can access that content. And think of it as what this guy's doing is he's trying to challenge whether or not Craigslist owns the content that we post. Right now, Craigslist says that they have copyright over that.
Over the content?
The only platform that claims copyright.
All right, wait. You mean, hang on, Beth. You mean that Craigslist is saying if I post something, I'm selling X, and I post it up there on Craigslist, it becomes their property? That the posting becomes their property, essentially, that information?
That they own that content.
Wow.
It's their content, yes, and that you cannot. No, nobody else can access that content. Not even you own it.
Whoa!
But if it's your car, you put up your car for sale. Craigslist is saying they own that content, which is interesting. It's an interesting argument.
Yeah, not the car, folks. They say that. However, the picture and the posting and everything else, all that content is there. So you couldn't take exactly that same information and then put it up somewhere else with another company, right?
That's correct.
So, Beth, you and I. When we talked earlier in the week, we both know Craig Newmark. In fact, Craig used to live here in the Detroit area, worked here for about 12 years, and then went out to Silicon Valley, to San Jose, and started Craigslist. He's not involved with Craigslist anymore. I mean, he's still a very, very, very large owner, may still own all of it. I'm not even sure. But he's doing philanthropy types of activities now, and that's really his passion. He's a really nice man.
He's a very nice man. I agree. And I think, it'll be interesting to see what happens here. The startup in question is basically trying to create somewhat of a kayak. You remember when you had to go to United or American Airlines to get a ticket for an airline?
Mm-hmm.
And they
now
tried
you
to say
a kayak or an Orbitz.
Yep. Oh, I see. Okay.
And they tried to say the same thing, right?
What was that?
They were trying to say the same thing, and that's now stopped, that's been broken.
The airlines are trying to say they were the only ones who had the right to sell tickets.
To sell to tickets.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And so that's what they're talking about, Beth. Beth, I know we don't have too much more time, but because I wanted to encourage people to click on that live link that's at internetadvisor.net and to look at Citizen Tech. It's fascinating. You have essentially kind of a magazine format there, Beth. Just quickly tell us about that magazine format and how you have these different categories that people can look at.
Yes, we want to make it very enjoyable for you to look into this technology, so we've created somewhat of a magazine format. And in fact, we have a campaign going where we're fundraising, so if anybody who's listening wants to purchase a magazine for $5, we are doing that right now where you get a magazine and it has all of the tech experts that have written the content just to sort of kickstart the endeavor here.
Excellent.
But yeah, we're trying to make it enjoyable to discover technology. So,
Beth, great job. Great job, Beth. We want to keep in touch with you as you continue to grow as well. And we're going to encourage our listeners to go and look at that that link for getting to Citizen Tech. Beth Kindig, again, thanks for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. And good luck to you and your endeavors as well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Welcome back to the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, and the gang in studio here with you. One of the biggest suppliers of broadband connections across the country is a company called AT&T, which has been reimagined in the recent past. It now has become, again, a major source of, as I said, connections to the Internet and to broadband in particular. With us on the phone right now is somebody who represents that company, and we're delighted to have Jermaine Spidons with us. He's the Senior PR Manager for AT&T. And Jermaine, thank you for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
I appreciate you having me. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you. Michigan has been the beneficiary, or I should say is the beneficiary now, of some big changes that AT&T has gone through in terms of the service to this. Can you tell us about...
And in wireless in particular.
Yep.
Right?
Talk a little bit about what we have now that we hadn't had in the recent past with AT&T.
Well, in September, we announced that we launched LTE in the Detroit metro area, which we're very excited about. Got great feedback from our customers on how great it's performing. It's amazing how fast it is. It's up to 10 times faster than our 3G network. It's a great time, and it came on the heels of the iPhone launch, which now operates on the LTE network. And it's just been a great service, and I know the people in the Metro Detroit area are enjoying the services that we're providing.
Jermaine, just along, didn't you tell me, Gary, anecdotally, that you had connected one time on the LTE system when you got your new connections?
So, yeah,
it was faster than your wireless.
So we were not going to talk about this, Foster, because the problem is that I have a couple different connections. I have redundant connections to our offices in Dearborn, and they're very fast. Mm-hmm. But as I go out to speed test and a couple of the others that to determine our speed on the internet, I went out and got a number of iPhone 5s on the AT&T wireless mobile network,
mm-hmm.
and they come with a hotspot already configured, right? So all of our phones now have hotspots. We were looking at the hotspot and just comparing them. The speeds,
mm-hmm.
we were getting up to 32 megabit connections down and 21 back up, which is almost twice as fast as I was getting in my office with these big redundant connections that are fiber to
it's
the
astounding.
Office.
It's astounding.
Just amazing.
Practically
now,
speaking,
it's
saying
it's all over the place, right?
But practically speaking, it means that this we've got a wireless connection out there, Jermaine, with AT&T that is incredibly fast if you can access it.
It is. It's very fast. And then, as you're speaking, as far as the download and upload speeds, it's amazing. You know, with the technology that LTE brings, what it does, it actually frees up space in the spectrum to be able to upload those documents or, you know, data faster based on how it operates, which is great for our customers because the spectrum is not bogged down by people trying to upload, you know, photos to Facebook or social, you know, Twitter. And it frees up that space. So the times, you know, that you're uploading in previous on a 3G network, it's drastically changed now. I mean, it's pretty amazing. You're taking a picture, no matter where you're at in Metro Detroit, and you upload it. I mean, it's you see the line go across the screen on your phone if you have a new smartphone.
I'm testing out I'm testing out a Windows phone right now, and I was amazed too. I uploaded something on Facebook, and it really zapped up. Now, you know, Cal, you had something you were asking?
Well, yeah. And Jermaine, here's my question for you. Unlike Gary, who is Mr. Bleeding Edge, always on the edge and always doing that sort of thing, I have to live with a humble iPhone 4 that's still running on 3G. Now, this upgrade to LTE does nothing as far as the coverage for my 3G because you didn't change cell towers. You're using the same towers. You're just running a different protocol. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. You know, we upgraded our towers to be able to offer the LTE. Now, what you will do, you will experience faster speeds because with the LTE and the new LTE devices, what that does is that frees up space on the 3G service if you're still falling back on that based on your phone. So you will experience those speeds. But I do encourage you to upgrade to a new latest smartphone. I mean, we have other devices besides the iPhone, such as the Samsung Galaxy S3, which are what I use. It's super fast.
And Windows, by the way, the Nokia 900.
Yeah, Nokia 900. You know, we have the Windows 8 phone that's going to be out soon. So there's a ton of devices that you can choose from. But, you know, that's the great thing about LTE. It's super fast. It frees up our network, and it allows users, despite if they're not using the latest LTE device, to still experience faster speeds.
So everybody
uploading stuff.
They say, you know, a tide raises all boats. So in this sense,
exactly.
A rising tide raises all boats. So in this sense, everybody else is getting a boost from it, too.
One other question on LTE, if I could. Is it a stronger signal? Because I know on 3G, right in the metropolitan area, in some spots, I'll lose reception. If I go to an LTE-based phone, whether it's iOS or Droid, does it have the capability of picking up the signal better?
It is a stronger signal, a faster signal, and that's the other thing about the network. Once a lot of people are trying to get on the network and data, it bogs the systems down, which means it diminishes the signal strength. The other thing that plays in part with signals when you're driving down a road or whatever, people don't sometimes doesn't take into account the trees or buildings that interferes with signals. So, you know, some people say, in the wintertime, I have great service. in my area, but soon as spring comes, the signal seems to drop a little bit. Well, if you notice, the trees have a lot of leaves on them, and it affects the signal. But it does bring a stronger signal, and we have decreased our drop call rate in the Metro Detroit area, which we are also proud of. And that's based on the investment we've made in the Metro Detroit area.
Yeah.
I think from, well, I know from 2009 to 2011, we spent $1.5 billion in investing in our network.
1,800 different upgrades that you made to the network in this area. So that's going to help people in this area. But I think you're doing that across the country as
well. Now, I've got to ask, because we got affiliates who listen to us in other big cities, if they're going to get the sweet spot, let's say in Grand Rapids or Lansing or Saginaw, Kalamazoo, Muskegon, any of those due to get some of these pretty soon?
Yeah, and when I say the $1.5 billion, that's statewide. That's just not in the Detroit area. That's statewide. And then within Grand Rapids in particular, we are going to launch LTE by the end of 2012 there. So we hope to make that great announcement soon, and we're looking forward to bringing them up and connecting that and then, spreading across the rest of Michigan.
Okay.
But we've made investments all over this state, and over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be continuing announcing the investments to some of the towers, building out more of our LTE towers in the Metro Detroit area to boost the signal even more. So, people should watch the news for that, and they'll experience it on their phone, so they don't even, they don't have to know that we did it. They'll see the results on their device when they're uploading pictures and everything.
Jermaine Spite's with us, by the way, speaking. He's the senior PR manager for AT&T here in Michigan.
A lot of people have said, well, I get 4G now. Isn't that good enough? Why do I have to go to LTE? What's the difference?
With 4G, speed. To boil it down, it's speed. And, it's one of those things. You use something. It's like driving your car. You get used to your car. You drive it, and you know how it drives and how fast you like to go in it. But then you sit in a Ferrari.
Said.
You naturally think of speed, So that's the basic difference. 4G, and the great thing about our network is that when you go out of our LTE area, you just don't fall off of 4G and back to 3G. You fall back on what we call HSPA, which still gives you those 4G-like speeds. So you still maintain great speeds, even if you're not on our LTE network. And that's the difference between us and our competitors, is that we have that backup, so you can maintain the quality services that you had, despite if you're in and out of your LTE areas.
So does that mean everywhere, if somebody has a phone with the LTE on it, that they're going to get a better signal, period, wherever they are without the state?
As long as they're in the LTE area, yes.
Okay. They should get that kind of a boost. We're almost out of time right now, but Jermaine, thank you very much for being with us. Jermaine Spite's been with us here as a PR senior manager for AT&T, and we'll look forward, especially for our listeners listening in those outstate kind of places. They're listening for their Christmas presents being announced soon.
No, definitely, and we'll love to come in and show you guys some new devices so we can get you out of that iPhone 4 and then upgrade it to LTE device, and we'll be happy to do that.
Thank you, Jermaine. Appreciate you being with us. Jermaine Spite again from AT&T. Hey, folks, stick around for our second hour the Internet Advisor. On that, we are going to be talking with, we'll be talking about some problems you have sent us through your emails, and we'll be talking, matter of fact, with a couple of you, we hope, to try to solve your problems. That's when the whole team pitches in here on the Internet Advisor.
You're listening to a podcast of WJR's Internet Advisor. You can find more resources to protect your computer on our webpage at internetadvisor.net.
Welcome to hour number two of the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown, and with me in our studios, our usual group of suspects, Gary Baker, who co-founded the program with me. We have Mr. Ed Rudell and Cal Carson as well, and we'll be answering some questions that you folks have sent us during the week through our email. If you go to internetadvisor.net on our homepage, we have a contact us form, and that's the magic button to get your question in. We'll be talking with these folks about their problems and getting some others solved as well. It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two, and that is the hour in which we roll up our sleeves and we talk with folks in our audience who have sent us some email about a question. Normally, when we are doing our program live on WJR 760 AM out of Detroit, which is our home, our base station, we have callers who can call in during that program. But during the times of year when often, because of Michigan State University's sports programs, whether it's football or basketball, we've been preempted, that doesn't mean we stop doing our program. We keep on doing it every week. But the way that you get your questions to us are through the email. Now, that is especially a benefit for you folks who happen to be listening to us on one of our affiliates. You could be listening to us for right now in Lansing, for instance, on WJIM AM 1240. And you might say, darn it, I had a question. I wish, they would answer my question. Well, we can do it if you send it to us by going to internetadvisor.net, click on that Contact Us button, and just simply put your information in there, give a little background to your problem and then also to the subject, you know, the thing you're dealing with, a little bit about your computer and your operating system, et cetera, and then we'll roll our sleeves up and get to it. And then often during the week, one of the guys will get back to you with some details, and then if we can, we call you back up on the weekends and we try to get you on the air to talk about your particular problem or concern.
Right.
And that's what we're going to start doing with right now, by the way, with one of our listeners who has sent us an email. And I want to welcome Pam to the Internet Advisor. Pam, thanks so much for joining us here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I understand. Now, when you sent us your concerns, it was that you had a Windows 7 Premium program. You were running on an HP Pavilion laptop.
Yes.
And you were trying to do a mail merge from a Word document, and you were having some problems. So tell us a little bit more about the problems you were having. And
I was having a heck of a time because every time I went to the setup wizard to go to the steps to do my labels,
mm-hmm.
I would go to open an existing document,
mm-hmm.
thinking that then I would go to the drop-down menu,
right.
and get to pick out my Excel database.
Right.
Well, every time I chose an existing document, it would only go to my Word documents. There were no Excel documents to choose from.
Hmm.
So I spent a whole lot of time trying to... I thought something was wrong with my computer.
Uh-huh.
But it turned out I finally went back to the setup wizard, and instead of choosing to open an existing document...
Uh-huh.
It had already, when you bring it up, it's already chosen to bring up the current document.
Uh-huh.
And so I just left it on that choice this time, and then it let me go to my Excel database.
All right.
So it was kind of silly, but I, you know, I thought that it only made sense to me that I knew my Excel database was an existing document,
yes.
So I thought that's what it meant.
You know, I would have done, I think, the same thing. Ed, did you look into this as well?
You know, I did, but I assumed it may have been that she was running a newer version of the Microsoft Office suite, and maybe Microsoft Office, by default, only looks for XLX. S files.
The new endings on it.
Yes.
They're all 2010.
Right. Oh, they are. So I wasn't quite sure of that. So I speculated and on that. But it sounds like you found the solution, and it has to do, the solution you found was trying to interpret or reinterpret Microsoft's wizards.
I don't think their instructions are always real clear.
You know,
least,
yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, we agree with that.
I spent a whole lot of time.
Can I see all the hands raised of those who think the same thing?
Well, you know, I went into Microsoft Word and I said, the help. And, I mean, Office 2003 and Office 2007 had excellent help. Since they've done web-based help, mm-hmm. now, I just tried to do help with mail merge. It couldn't even find the key terms mail merge within Microsoft Word.
And searched online for something mm-hmm. with help for this, and I couldn't get anything.
Yes.
I don't know who you... I mean, I would have even called and paid one of those people
to help me with it.
But I don't know whether to call Microsoft, or do I call somebody from Excel, or...
Yeah, that's
HP,
a good question.
Or I,
what do you do?
Of course, and then I thought of you guys, and...
Well, thank you.
And we're free, so.
And I really like your show.
Thank you.
I like it better than.
Well, than any
some of those
no need to compare
people.
Yeah, no need to compare. But the point is, I'm glad we could help you. And Cal, you had something you wanted to add.
Well, you know, it just came back to me because I remember this back from like maybe Office 98 or something like that. Anytime you use a program like Mail Merge in any of the Microsoft. Anytime you use a wizard in Microsoft Office on a particular type of document, whether it be Excel or Word, the wizards always start up and they try to execute on whatever is currently open at that time.
Oh.
So if you were using the same wizards in in Excel, it will automatically try to execute that wizard against the open document you have at that time. So that's just a tip you might want to remember.
Okay.
That's a good point.
You know, Pam, I will tell you that we love to help people, and we're happy that you emailed us. But I'm even more happy that you just kept playing with this, kept looking inquisitive enough. I really think that was wonderful that you kept doing that and found the problem.
And she helped us. Yourself. Now help someone else in the future.
That's
you know,
right.
Pam, we're going
by calling in.
We're going to have to go to.
I felt kind of silly.
Well,
no,
don't,
no,
listen.
Not at
you
all.
Did a great job,
yeah,
Pam. Listen, we're going to have to send you some kind of gold star or recognition or certificate. But thank you so much for helping us, Pam.
All and right, I'm going to turn the radio on now and listen to the rest of the show.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pam.
Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Edward Dell, and Cal Carson in studio. And, you know, you two guys, Cal and Ed, we should tell people, you're professional troubleshooters for...
We're trouble.
You're trouble. Darn right you are.
Oh,
certainly
here comes trouble.
That's true.
That's what they say. Here comes trouble.
Here comes trouble. Oh, shoot. Troubleshooter.
Well, they want to shoot the troubleshooters. But you guys work within the corporate structures and helping, and you've been helping for a long time doing that, Ed, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes. Actually, yeah, 20 years.
Wow. Yeah. HP. And now
HP,
it's the company.
EDS before that. And you know, we were GM at one point, too, when General Motors purchased EDS.
And you may be General Motors soon again.
Well, who knows?
Who knows? That is a dilemma. And Cal, you've been working for a long time also on computers, both on Apple and on PCs as well.
Total combined from the time I started till now, it's been 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he started very young.
He gets his own parking spot. He's been there for so long.
It was back when computers used to run on kerosene. You started with a rope.
I thought you had a pedal. You know, you had to pedal it. Anyway, this is the kind of troubleshooters we have here, as well as Gary Baker, who works within the corporate atmosphere in the enterprise. And matter of fact, you are the IT director for the Society
right,
of Manufacturing.
CIO for Society of Manufacturing Engineers.
So we got the basis covered.
He creates the trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually that's the case.
That you guys are out to fix.
Ask any of the guys who work for me.
All right. Well, we've got somebody with us right now. Frank is with us on the line. And Frank, how you doing?
Good. How are you today, Foster?
Very well. And welcome to the Internet Advisor. I understand that you are up to your elbows in computers right now.
Right. I am. Right at this minute, too.
What are you doing right now, by the way? Just curious.
Well, we started with real slow action on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife uses it mainly for internet and for some photo work that
mm-hmm.
she does.
Right.
And I could never decide whether it was the computer, whether it was the router, or whether it was the internet.
Oh, for the speed, the slowness
for the
of
speed,
it.
Speed, yeah, that mm-hmm. was bogging it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally decided to take some advice I had heard on your show and mm-hmm. go to your website and try to put in a different virus protection.
Oh, okay. Which one
because
did you?
We have Norton right now.
Ah, okay.
And I understand. I think you have said before that Norton takes a lot of memory or something.
Well, it can.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't have the latest and greatest software, because of course Norton is trying to protect your computer. And depending on what suite of software you provide, yes, they're assuming you have the latest and greatest computer.
And also, just because it might take a big footprint on your hard drive doesn't mean that it's slower or faster, right?
Right. But it's a good troubleshooting technique to uninstall and then maybe try a different antivirus protection. Right. And see how the performance increases.
So how would they do that, Ed? If people listening, they said, maybe I want to try that. They don't uninstall and then go look for the antivirus. How do they do that?
Well, of course, they would download it first. You know, we usually like, if you're running Windows 7, we've been recommending Microsoft Security Essentials, and you mm-hmm. download that from Microsoft. And it will let you install that simultaneously with Norton. And then afterwards, you can then uninstall the Norton antivirus software. Of course, making note of any serial numbers that you possibly purchased from them and hopefully make sure that you have any email correspondence from them that they may have sent you their security keys or whatever to activate mm-hmm. it. Make sure you have those before you uninstall the product, because if you paid $69 or whatever for it, you want to make sure that if you wanted to, you wanted to reinstall it, that you have that capability.
Yeah. So. I'm curious. Cal had a question for you, but just before we get there, what system did you finally install?
Well, I was about to install I think it's the Microsoft
Security Essentials.
Security Essentials,
yep.
Yeah, because
yep.
that looked like it was something that I had some confidence in.
What operating system are you running, Frank?
This is Vista Home.
Okay, you have Vista Home.
Basic. Vista Home Basic.
The Microsoft Security Essentials actually was built to work probably best with from Vista onward. So Vista and Windows 7,
right.
Windows which 7 is an improvement on Vista, but a lot of the same structure. So you're probably well off there. That it'll really work best with that. If you're looking backwards towards Windows XP, then maybe some of the other programs right. will work a bit better for you. Go ahead.
And one of the things you can help to improve your computer's speed is memory. Right now, Windows Vista Home Premium on that type of system, because it's 32-bit, I think you can get, a little over 3.8 gigabyte of memory in there. So,
yeah, well, see, the one computer that I have only has 1 gigabyte of memory.
So, I mean, for $20, you could throw another stick in there, another 2 gigabyte stick, or 1 gigabyte.
I think I've got all I can get. This is an older Toshiba satellite.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's all I can put in it time I had it serviced.
Well, one of the ways to make sure of that is if you go out on the Internet and go to Crucial.com, and you can plug in your model of your Toshiba satellite into their memory configurator, and they'll tell you exactly how much memory you can put into that machine and how much it will cost.
And that's why I like Crucial, because they do a better job, because that's all they do is sell memory and other things, but they do a better job of presenting the technical data of your computer and finding it so easily. It's better than a manufacturer's site.
Yep.
Trying to figure out how much memory, because they want you to buy their memory.
Now, here's another twist that I have to throw at you, because you said that originally the reason why you started getting involved with this, because you said your Internet speed was getting slower.
Yeah, something getting slower, because the computer, takes forever to bring up the Internet and then to find the different sites.
Well, every now and then it might be fun to do a couple of things. One, you may want to clear up your temporary Internet files within your browser. Number two, you may want to reset your router by powering it down and powering it back up.
And also
reset
cable
the modem as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing you might want to do is, like Ed just said, add some more memory to that machine, because maybe you don't have any, quote, sinister things going on in the background. Maybe it just needs a little maintenance and a couple of reboots to the various peripherals that just might make your speed work that much faster.
Okay. All right, I'll check on the memory for sure.
Okay, so this is a laptop that you're working with?
This is a laptop.
Okay, we checked on you're going to check. By the way, that site Crucial is Crucial. Camel, you got something to add?
And then the last thing you might want to look at is take a look at a program called Malwarebytes. It's a great program that's been recommended by us for a long, long time, and especially the pay version that has a subscription to it that you can load it on the machine, and it'll constantly be looking for malware and adware and those sort of things, and keeping you clean that way too.
Right, and it'll also, you download the free version and scan your computer, because it will probably find something that your existing antivirus and maybe even the Microsoft stuff didn't find. And it's like a sanity check, if you will. It's a very good program, and it may find some unwanted or some programs that you do not want, like coupons or .com and plugins to your Internet Explorer that are actually slowing it down. You may want to also Malwarebytes. You can get that from InternetAdvisor.net. I have a link there, and if you go to the toolkit on InternetAdvisor.net, I provide a link that goes directly to the download site, because Malwarebytes now it makes it a little more difficult to find that free version, if you will. And the other thing is, oh my goodness, what was that fifth thing?
Well, we talked about
memory.
Memory. We talked about.
Well, that's what I need is Windows, more memory.
We talked about Windows Essential. We talked about Malwarebytes. We talked about cleaning up his machine.
An alternate browser.
Oh, yes.
Because you're using Internet Explorer, probably. Try Chrome or Firefox and just see if that improves your performance.
Yeah.
Okay. And go through your add remove programs. And you might want to see if you can remove any of those old printers. If you've had the satellite, you've probably gone through maybe two printers since then. I don't know. But sometimes if you have old printer software, go through your programs and features in the control panel and see if there's any programs in there you're not using anymore. You may say, I don't have that Brothers printer or Lexmark or HP printer anymore. I bought a new such and such. Well, that printer software is loading up in the background, and it loads every time your computer comes up, uses memory resources, slows you down.
One last thing, Frank.
It slows down getting on, right?
Powered on, yes.
Right. Yeah. Power on. It doesn't slow down the transmission.
Very last thing for you, Frank, and for anybody out there. Go into the bottom left-hand corner and look for run, and in that space, type msconfig. MSCONFIG. Mm-hmm. Go in there and take a look at what is loading up automatically when you start.
You want to go to the startup tab in MSConfig and see what's starting up.
And that's a place you can also unplug a lot of stuff that runs in the background. So, Frank, we hope we helped you there.
Oh, yeah. A lot of help. I always get a lot of help from you guys, and some of it's over my head, but I still get
this,
some help.
This time I think we've hit the mark. Hi, Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson here in studio answering some questions. We'll be getting to talk with one of our other listeners, Gary, in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to remind you, by the way, that if you go to our homepage, it's a source of all sorts of goodies. Everything from, for instance, if you're on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, you will see links in our podcast program and our show links. You will see lists of some of the sites that we've been talking about during our program. For instance, the Microsoft Security Essentials, crucial.com for checking out your memory, that's your computer's memory, not your own. If there were one for that, I'd be on it every day. The malware bytes, I link to actually something that is in our toolkit already, but it's a little hard to find. So, Ed, we went and linked to you for it, and that is the direct link to the free version of malware bytes. It's a great tool, but as with a lot of other things, they really would like you to use the paid version.
Foster.
What?
If you... You said you go to the memory site every day.
If I can remember where it was.
Exactly.
That's why I have a tattoo to bookmark that sucker.
Or if you can remember to remember.
There you go. There you go. Reminding me, I have to get my power cord out. Ed, don't let me go before I get my power cord. I have to start tying ribbons on my fingers. Anyway, let's go back to our callers here.
I think that's what the wedding ring is, isn't it?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It reminds you that you're married.
Gary is with us right now on the Internet Advisor. Hi, Gary. How you doing? Hello, Gary.
Hello.
Batter up. How you doing, Gary?
Okay.
It's good to have you with us. You sent us a kind of a real brain teaser here. And your question, I believe, was that you had a monitor, essentially, that wasn't coming out of sleep. So why don't you explain the problem quickly for the folks who are listening?
Okay. Well, what would happen is when the computer would go into, you know, the sleep mode, you know, hibernate, and then when you want it to come out, it, you know, you could hit the space bar, move the mouse, and you hear the hard drive spin up. And the fans come on, but the monitor would never come up.
Is this a laptop or a desktop?
Desktop.
Okay. Okay.
And what the only way to get it back would be to do a hard restart.
When you say a hard restart, in other words, you push the power button.
Yep.
Or you have to go to this thing where it says shut the computer off and start it again, restart.
Right.
So do you think it was actually that the problem's with your monitor not coming out of sleep mode, or you think it's your desktop is getting stuck?
No, I think it's the desktop because digging around, I found an error log that said that WUDFRD.sys was failing to restart the monitor.
Did this happen at some point? Can you identify a date or time when this happened? The first time it happened? Did it happen like a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
It's been happening for, I'd say, the last 3 months.
Okay. So there was a time when something, I'm wondering if something happened physically to the computer or when suddenly something went haywire.
You know, I remember this, and I'm looking into my sent items, and basically I responded to this. Basically, WUDFRD.sys, that's a Windows user mode driver reflected framework, basically. Basically, this error is telling you that the Windows Drive Manager system has reported that a hardware driver of some device on your laptop that is loaded is causing Windows to come, causing problems when Windows is trying to resume. So it's basically stuttering. And, I mean, this program is monitoring all the drivers. So all the drivers that are loaded, and one of the drivers, and we don't know what it is causing problems. This file is the one that reports the error.
So where would you go to find out exactly what the problem is? Would you go to Device Manager?
No, because the problem is coming out of sleep mode. So what I would do is go to the manufacturer's website for your computer, type in the model number, and then download all of the software, networking drivers, everything for your computer, sound system, USB, chipset, BIOS. You download and install all the software that Hewlett-Packard has for your particular model and apply it because Microsoft is saying it's a driver.
So one of those drivers is corrupted or bad or something, and this is telling him that one of those drivers is bad but not telling him which one?
Yes,
okay,
unfortunately.
So it could be a driver other than the monitor?
Oh, definitely. It could be anything. It could be a USB device. So it could
really?
Be your printer.
Okay. It's kind of, we had just got a new flash drive that I was using kind of for backing up to.
Oh, okay.
Can you pull that out and
right
see
right around the time this started.
Ah, that was the thing I was looking for. What had happened about the time it started. So there was a flash drive that you started using? You mean like the thumb drives? The little?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you could do is possibly, of course, put the unit to sleep with the thumb drive out of there and then try to wake it up and then see if it responds normally.
We've done that and it still is a problem.
Okay. So how long ago did this start?
About 3 months, I think he said.
Oh, 3 months.
Yeah,
okay.
Three months.
See, unfortunately, if it were only a few days or a week, then we'd just say do a system restore.
Right.
So, Gary, just as kind of a general word for folks that are out there, one of the marvelous things about the Windows operating systems is you can do the
System restore,
which essentially is kind of, you called it a magic wand at one point, I think.
Called it a lot of things.
Yeah. A go-back machine.
Go-back machine, that was it. But just in general, when you run into a problem with your operating system, if you do that as one of the first steps, sometimes you can just kind of abracadabra fix it. So that would be like a first step to do, just for future reference for you. But now...
Well, there's a couple other things you can do. So we already suggested going to the manufacturer's website, which is HP in this instance, type in your model number, and then download all the software specific to your laptop or desktop computer, and then apply those updates. We're talking BIOS, video, sound, chipset, which is, you know, your USB controllers and stuff like that. The other thing you could potentially do, and it sounds silly, is run a scan disk and defrag on your computer. And then I would even power up your computer in safe mode, and you do that by powering up the computer and tapping the F8 key.
Yeah.
And when you do that, come up in safe mode and delete your hibernation file, which is on your C drive. You'll see a file called hib-something.sys, I think. And it'll be about the same. It'll be about 4 gig. Same size as you just... I mean, there's several things you could do about that. Gary, you had something?
So was this thumb drive a cruiser by any chance?
That would be the brand name.
That would be the brand name.
I can't remember what the brand
name
was.
It'd be like a SanDisk cruiser?
Yes. The reason that I ask is I'm just going through some of the blogs and some of the discussion forums around this topic on the net. And this exact thing happened to somebody else that had a cruiser thumb drive.
You know, and that makes sense.
And they found out that it was that was the cause of it.
Yeah, and that makes sense because SanDisk provides you a suite of software that allows you to then...
To do backups and all sorts of fun stuff.
Do backup stuff.
It's a great thing.
So it's a program, not necessarily a driver that's running in the background, and it's actually taking control of your USB stuff. So this program, it could potentially be the SanDisk software. So you might want to...
Go into
Control panel.
Control panel and remove that.
And programs and features... And then see if you have a program in there for your USB drive. And Gary's made a great idea. I didn't even think of that. Check to see if you have a program in there for Cruiser or SanDisk. Temporarily uninstall it.
Okay.
And see if it helps.
You know, I had an issue this week, Gary, that you mentioned this, and other people may find this. We had installed a new wireless router on a remote computer in the office at the building that I work at. And it was the same as the base, so I thought it would connect fine. It was doing okay. All of a sudden, we couldn't get it to connect. I looked down, and what had happened was the old program, the old software for the Zoom, this happened to be another brand, was still in there. As soon as I went into the control panel and removed that and then rebooted the machine, boom, everything worked perfectly. The machine says, oh, look, you have a new wireless connection
here.
Boom, 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 works.
Yep, they were put in the same place, right?
So, exactly. So what may be happening here is along the lines of what Gary is saying is that you have got a program that may be fighting with you. And if you go in and look into Control Panel, he would look for the scan. Is it SanDisk?
Yeah.
Control Panel under Programs and Features, yeah. If it's Windows
that was
7.
This particular one, it doesn't have to be this one. It could be something else.
But you might
this
try
was
that.
The one that I saw that they were having problem, the exact same problem.
Now, quick question for you guys who have looked at it. Does HP do the same kind of thing that Dell does with their drivers, that if you put in the certain model number, et cetera, et
yes.
cetera, it will give them the exact drivers then?
They go even one step further. If I'm not mistaken, most HP computers, they'll have something called, I think it's called a PC manager or something like that. It's a mm-hmm. little application on the right-hand side in the system tray. And you mm-hmm. click on that, and it will go to the HP site and pull down all the latest updates for that particular model.
There yep. you go.
And that's good. But in this instance, we have a problem. And by reloading the software, the recommended software that's for the model number, it'll potentially correct a problem like a corrupted driver.
Ah, okay.
Or a setting.
Good.
Now, one other thing.
Yeah, because I ran off for all the updates, in case, there was something,
okay.
Gotten overwritten or something. And
all right, Gary. What we're going to do is we're going to put you on hold right now, and then when we come back, we'll talk with you during the break and wrap up some of this conversation with you, Gary. But thank you very much for being with us. I think we helped to handle a lot of different problems for a whole bunch of people. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap things up with another problem that we hope we can solve for one of our listeners. It's been a delight to be able to have you with us and to allow us to be with you. Wherever you might be listening to us, across the state of Michigan on our affiliate network or on our podcast and downloading it from our website. Thank you very much for joining us. And by the way, you can go to internetadvisor.net, and usually on the Sunday night that we record our programs for the network and for those of you listening to us on the podcast, you can get that by going to internetadvisor.net, right-clicking on it, and you can download it from that site. Or you can also sign up to get the podcasts through iTunes or through whatever podcast application you use. And again, go to internetadvisor.net for that information. By the way, I'd like to thank Mary Schmidt, who has been doing a great job screening for us today. Mary, thank you very much for adding your pleasant voice to the phones there. And Rich Lozinski, as always, for spinning the dials. Mr. Carson.
Two rumors, if I could.
Oh, I led them.
Number one, there is a talk that on the 23rd of October, mm-hmm. Apple may make an announcement about the new iPad mini.
Oh, they would do that, too, wouldn't they? They'd jump Microsoft by a day.
Well, by 3 days.
It's 3 days, matter of fact.
No, I thought.
The 25th, right?
25th is when they come
well,
out.
Well, they've announced the Surface, but the 25th is
the official
available.
Launch is in New York on that date, I think.
Yeah, so there's talk about that going on. And then the other thing that's running amok right now, and I just lost that quick, was,
expanded memory.
My. I've lost it completely.
That's right. But the Apple Mini.
Microsoft Office for iOS.
Yes.
Yep.
May be coming sometime in 2013,
yes.
early.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be called the Microsoft Office 13? Is that the idea? Because they had 11. For the Mac.
Well, I have heard.
Every other year, right?
Here's what I heard.
But
you're PC.
You're confusing the Mac and the PC.
Well, the PC was 10 and 12,
yes.
And now it's going to, okay.
Now, Cal, I had heard that Office 2013, when it comes out from Microsoft, that you can download that and you have 5 installs, 3 PC and 2 Macs. So does that mean that we're no longer going to have Office for the Mac?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be just one to serve them all.
I hope not.
Why?
Well, because one is Unix-based, another one is, C++-based. And whenever you start doing that, it starts getting ported back and forth. And I got to tell you, it doesn't port very well all the time. Sometimes it does.
Well, that
sometimes
be very
it doesn't. And generally, what has been happening in the past, believe it or not, is they traditionally will build that Office platform on the Mac first. And then move it over to the Windows platform.
Well, it may be happening that way, because all that I heard was that when you buy a license for any version of the new Office 13 that's coming out, that you will get 5 licenses. And I've heard that confirmed a number of places.
But it could be different. Just because you buy the license doesn't mean it's the same code.
No, right? But what it means is this.
Definitely a different code.
You get 5 installs, 3 PCs and 2 Macs. Now, it could be that simply means that when you have the updated code for the Mac, the license will apply to that.
Oh, then you've just been a perfect lead-in for what else I wanted to talk about, too. Because, hey, it must be something about the market changing that they're selling you two different platforms when you buy the license, right?
Yes, it could. Yes, very much so.
And
much
Gary, so. My good friend who's always been around, when I first started this show, said 3% of the established base. That's up to 13 now.
Well, you know what? And we keep saying, so 2 years ago I said, this is the year that Apple is going to really shine. Mm-hmm. And it not quite, but it got better. And it got more used, bigger install base. Mm-hmm. So last year we said the same thing.
Well, you know, it's
at the beginning of this year, we said the same thing. So I'm happy it'll probably be next year. But, and it's been getting better every year.
What was really funny is that actually the PC sales for not only just Apple, but a number of other people are actually down this year. Lenovo has finally taken the first place.
Yes,
spot.
Lenovo moved ahead of HP. That was fascinating in terms of sales.
Well, that's what they said, but HP disputed it and released numbers.
Yeah,
but
I'm
it
not
was,
sure I agree.
The,
with I'm
not sure if I agree
the other
with the
thing
numbers.
Is, so anybody who has a PC right now is holding their breath. For the Microsoft Windows 8 to come out, to see what happens with that.
Well,
then,
and you can...
It was like before the Windows Phone. They said, oh, the Windows Phone sales are dropping. Well, Windows Phone 5 was coming. What do you expect? People are waiting until it comes out, and then they're going to buy it. And sure enough, what have they sold? Between, 5 and 10 million of them
well,
so far?
Well, what's going on? I mean, first of all, you can pre-order Windows 8 at Best Buy and probably a lot of other places. But the interesting part is that the tablets are now taking over a lot of what would have typically been the PC market in the past. Mm-hmm. And they said 73 million tablets were shipped last year.
Well, and that if the Microsoft Surface, is all it's cracked up to be, it will be the final bridge, I think, between the PC, you know, the laptop, to a mobile platform where you've got the full operating system that's available for you now on a laptop device with its own keyboard inside the.
I would throw one caveat on that. I would say in the enterprise arena, yes.
Mm-hmm, yes.
For the consumer,
yes.
I'd say no.
If they want to really do well with Microsoft Surface and Windows 8, they better have a heck of a version of Solitaire.
Good point. Well, GBI Research, which does a lot of this research, and I do want to point out that while tablets are catching up, 73 million tablets shipped last year, projected by 2016, 275 million projected, right? That's impressive, but... You know, the notebook market is 198 million this year, so over over 2.5 times the notebook market.
Which is the lighter, smaller.
Right.
Okay.
And then projected in 2016 compared to the 275 million of tablets projected will be over 350 million
basically,
so they're not caught up, but they're catching up is the point.
We're seeing a huge sea change that's going from the PC. I asked you before, one at the beginning of the hour, the first hour, you know, is the PC dead? There's a lot of things. This is a post-PC era, meaning the desktop primarily.
Yeah, not dead.
No, it's not dead. But we're seeing the shift going, as you're seeing with those sales figures.
Right.
And if the Windows Surface is all that it's cracked up to be, I think it'll help make that move.
I can't wait.
We're hoping to get a copy of one of those to play with.
Yeah.
A unit of those.
Oh,
to
they're
be able
already
to
making
around.
Copies of them.
I guess.
Well, what you saw this week was, this past week, was Lenovo came out with another tablet running Windows 8. We're seeing more and more of those devices.
Sure.
The Acer Iconia, I think, was the other one that's out there. A lot of these devices are out in the market right now. I think we're really going to see people. I heard something said just quickly. We're near the end of the show here, and I did want to get to the Dropbox question. Let me do that, just in all fairness to Ben. Ben asked us if we would handle this before we left, and we'll have this conversation go probably next week when Rick Broida is in here, who is our gadget guy. You guys can talk with him about that, and also about he's the resident cheapskate. But what Ben was asking us to comment on, a longtime listener, is he said, I was the impression that Dropbox is used only when you want to send a large, file to somebody.
Well, he was saying that it's just a storage place in the cloud, because that's kind of the point that we addressed last week. But it's more than that, right?
Right. Well, you can use that and others.
Yeah, but if you want to send large files, you don't want to use something like Dropbox. You want to use something more like FTP Depot or one of those types of things. Yeah, or you send it.
Although you send it, I think, is being eclipsed by things like Dropbox.
Right. And what's nice about Dropbox
does allow you to do it.
Yep. Right. And one of the benefits of Dropbox, because it's cloud-based storage, it allows it to synchronize your data between multiple devices, between your tablet, your PC, your laptop. That way the data is always there between all the devices.
And Ben's point was that you can give somebody special permission to come into your Dropbox and get the file that you want.
Yeah, send him an email with a link to do that. Right. And the other thing is that Ben has his own website, BENC.com. I don't think he'll mind by giving that away. And he said through that, he can do the same thing. So if you have your own website, you can also take bigger files up there and give people an email address to back them down. So
password protected.
Yeah, password protected, of course. So
and as long as your internet service provider provides you with the space where you might have to buy some.
Right. And there's more than just Dropbox. Right? There's other services out there.
And you guys next week, I'm sure we'll talk with Rick Broida about that. I'm jealous already. I'm going to be on the road, but Rick Broida, our cheapskate and our gadget guy, is going to be in here for our next program. Don't miss that with Gary, Ed, and Cal. I'll be listening on the road myself. Have yourself a great week. Don't forget to visit us at InternetAdvisor.net.
You've been listening to a podcast of the second hour of WJR's Internet Advisor. To hear previous podcasts, visit our webpage at InternetAdvisor.net.